And Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, praise you, Father. You're an awesome God. You're a holy God. You're the God of all creation, Father. And I just praise you and I glorify you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight, Father, that you're the one that's going to be leading us. You're the one that's going to be gearing up this fellowship tonight. I just praise you, Father, that everybody being led by your Holy Spirit, and it just goes so smooth tonight. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for being our guide. I thank you, Lord, for being our fire at night and our smoke during the day that leads us everywhere we go. And I praise you, Lord, for being everything in our life, that everything that we do, we ask you before we do it, Lord. Because that's what's going to happen here shortly. We're going to have to ask you for everything because of the things that are going to be happening in the world. And I thank you, Lord, that you have placed great and bold faith in each one of us to believe your promises and place in us, Lord, also that motivating factor to run after you with all of our hearts. Because if we don't, we could get caught up in this thing and miss the boat. And Father, we don't want to do that. And I'm thanking you, Lord, for getting us all ready in Jesus' name. Lord, be with us tonight. Let your glory fall on us, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit lead us in all that we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, okay. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Any prayer requests? How about testimony? Amen. Oh, this is going to be an exciting night, I can tell.
Amen. Michael.
Yeah, I said go ahead. Go ahead, Sue.
Okay.
Amen. Go ahead.
I was just listening to Joe talking about his car. Well, the Lord worked on my car, in a sense. He used a couple brothers to find out what the problem was. And the funny thing was, when I started to have the problem, the battery turned over like it's supposed to, but it just wouldn't get any spark, I guess. And then I kept saying, it's not the battery. It's not the battery because it's turning over, you know? And the weekend was coming up when this happened. And I said, Lord, I've just given it to you. I'm just gonna wait for 3 days. I'm giving you a whole weekend, Lord, to work on this thing. And then on Monday, I'm gonna take it to get an oil change. So I was just waiting on him. I was resting on him and a couple brothers said they come and check it out. And I said, well, if the Lord leads you to do that, you can try, you can do whatever, the Lord leads you to do. And so two different brothers came over and, checked it out. And by Sunday, they got it going. And the funny thing was the computer was causing the problem in a sense of that the battery had to be up to, now I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, but 12 ohms has to be, the battery had to be 12 ohms before the computer would put the power in. So that was the problem. And I kept saying, it's not the battery because it was turning over, but it was the battery because it wasn't up to par to what the computer wanted. So they jump started it and then they got a battery for it. So
maybe it was 12 amps instead of 12 ohms. Reckon?
Well, I don't know. Whatever. It was, okay. It was being cantankerous.
Okay. It's working now, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Praise God.
And I took the car in. I drove it in because at first I thought, well, Lord, I'm giving you the weekend to work on it. And if it doesn't work, I'll just have to tow it in, But one way or another, I was going to take it in Monday.
Yeah. Amen.
So I took it in, and the mechanic he did the oil change, you know, and he didn't charge me nothing. So I got blessed double.
All right. Praise God. That's good.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for blessing with that car and getting it going, because it's your car, Lord. Thank you for blessing me with getting that car going again, and it didn't cost much at all for me. didn't cost anything for me just to wait on you, Lord. And thank you, Father, for the brothers that worked on it. Bless them.
Amen.
They helped out a widow. You help our widows. Be blessed for sure.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Go ahead, Missy.
We have this snowblower that is like 12 years old. It was mine before we got married, and Ro couldn't remember if he started it up last winter or not. And I said, well, don't, I said, I think we should, you know, try and see if we can get it started and everything in case we need it, you know. Well, he went out the other day and he tried to start it, and it wouldn't start. And I asked him about, you know, checking, you know, some the stuff, you know, try more. I said, if we can't get started or whatever, we need to go and have it fixed, you know, because if we get a big, a lot of snow, then, you know, it'll come in handy. Anyway, so I went to go out on a walk the other day, and I reminded him, I said, can you take a look at that again, try and get it started again? Well, I came back, and well, when I was out on my walk, I was praying about it, and I'm like, you know, just believing that he could get it started and whatever, and or that we could get it started. I told him when I come back, I said, you know, we'll both look at it, you know, whatever. Anyway, so I came back and he said he couldn't get it started. So I pulled it out in the out of the garage, and I pumped the fuel thing, you know, and I said to him, one of the things I said to him, I said, if that's a two cycle engine, oil and gas you put together. I said, if the gas, like evaporated out of it or whatever, and it's only oil in there, you know, that's probably not too great or whatever. But anyway, I was just believing that it would get started. So I pumped it a couple times, and I've learned to listen to see if the fuel, you can hear it squishing, you can hear it coming through the, anyway. And after I started hearing it come through, and I didn't want to do it too much because, you know, you flood it. So I pulled it once, and it started briefly, and I pushed it another time, heard some, you know, the fuel continued to, and I pulled it again, and it started briefly. And then I did it third time, and Merle's coming out the garage, like thinking, what in the world did you do? Probably. Anyway. So, I'm sorry. That's Merle. Hold on a second. I'll finish later.
I wonder if she knows how to do a tiller. Praise God. Next time we get her down here, we'll put her to work. Amen.
What was that you were saying?
I was just sitting here talking. I wasn't saying nothing.
So we got it started then, and it was a lot of smoke coming out of it. Probably was a lot. He had put some fuel in it, some new fuel. So thank you, Lord, for getting it started, because I know it's not good to leave them sitting there like that for a long time, not doing anything with them. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. I saw down here, we don't use those things because we don't need them. I saw over at Habitat for Humanity, it looked like a brand new one out there for, I don't know, probably $50. You know, it's probably a $700 machine. It's still sitting there. So that's not something that we utilize too much, if at all.
Wow.
Okay, anybody else? Well, that's good, Missy. It's good to know that you're a mechanic on small engines.
Well, not really, but...
Well, I'll tell you, if that happens again and it doesn't start, take you some WD-40, squirt down in that carburetor, and it'll start.
Well, you know, the thing of it is all the engine and everything is enclosed in plastic. You know, and I said to Merle about looking at the spark plug. He says, I'd have to take the whole cover or whatever, which would require taking some screws out. And he didn't want to do that. So thank you, Lord, that it wasn't the spark plug and we didn't have to get it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
When those fuel pumps, you know, the little bulb things that you got to push.
Primer bulb.
Yeah, that you gotta listen for the fuel coming through. If you don't hear the fuel coming through, you know, it's not gonna start for you.
Mm-hmm. No. Amen. Anyway. Okay. Anybody else? Good testimony.
Yeah, Michael.
Hey, Marlon. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'd like to have you pray for my. I got a bad cough. I'd like to have you pray for me for that.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Marlon to you. And we thank you, Lord, that when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to have it. In the name of Jesus right now, I command that coughing and the symptoms of it and everything else along with it that's associated with it to leave him right now in the name of Jesus. We bind up that spirit of infirmity and cast it off of him right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that there's no more coughing, no more anything else that goes along with it in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, that Marlon is healed in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Willie, go ahead, brother.
All right. Y'all hear me? Awesome. Lord taught me something interesting today. He caught me off guard. Lord really caught me off guard. You know, I was at work, you know, and the clients come through the lines for breakfast and lunch, and I got to do breakfast and lunch. Hispanic client comes through the line, you know, under the influence of a narcotic called Spike. Down here in Syracuse, we call it Spike, which is the artificial marijuana that's become very popular in a lot of places. And so he comes out of my workstation, and I'm just like, oh, I just want to get him off the work. Like, dude, go grab your breakfast, man. You know, but, and, you know, the Lord just kind of let me pray for him. And I was praying for him. Am I still connected? You guys pause for a second.
Well, you're breaking up pretty good, Willie.
Am I getting a broken connect?
Yeah, you're breaking up pretty good.
Yeah, that does it. You know.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Where does it on my side to do that weird kind of breakup crap?
Yeah.
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. You were breaking up pretty bad.
Am I?
Not now.
Hold on. Let me see. Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Awesome. And so the Lord leads me to pray for him in the middle of the cafeteria. I'm just like, yeah, hey, started praying. I'm not a person who's going to pray for a person in a crowd of people, you know. I look for the opportunity to pull somebody to the side. Like, come on, let me just, you want to go over here in the office? We pray for a little bit, you know. what the Lord taught me from that, you know, is what happened the day before yesterday or yesterday, something like that. Because I kept thinking to the Lord, I said, you know, what can I do here? You know, all these people, you know, I got so many people around me that are high, that are in so many, you know, situations, mental health. Man, it is like I'm walking in hell every day when I go to work, you know. That's what it feels like. And I'm just like, yeah, after 12 years and you see no change, I was like, you know, Lord, what am I, you know, why am I here? You know, why don't I, I'm thinking, hey, I need to get a different job, you know, some place where, you know, this is no longer overwhelming, you know, I could have some sense of peace. And so what I learned from that, praying for him, you know, the Spirit led the prayer. I had no idea what to pray. This guy was incredibly under the influence. I started praying for him. He started shaking, you know, and then the high left him enough to come to himself, you know, grab himself something to eat. He came back and he said, you know, thank you for praying for me. And I didn't want him to thank me. I didn't even want him to remember it. And it wasn't because of shame. I just didn't want anything going to my head. But he thanked me for it, and I was like, yeah, cool, you know. But when I was sitting here thinking about it, so the Lord showed me, you know, the common practice of surrendering to God, you know, is important. You know, learning to practice, learning, surrendering to God is important, you know, because I come out of a fast, you know, I would say the day before that, maybe the day before that. And without that, you know, absolute surrendered lifestyle, you're going to be at work. Like, you know, what am I here for? You know, I've been here for 12 years, you know, nothing changing, everything's getting worse. I want a different job, you know. And you will be very ineffective without having a surrendered lifestyle. A personal surrendered lifestyle, so that the Lord can, you know, take those things which are done in secret and reveal them openly, you know. And so that's what he showed me about, you know, just from I spent some time, you know, just surrendering more to the Lord, you know, confessing more things to the Lord, and, you know, that happens, you know, the day after. And that's what he taught me from it. Having that that personal secret place surrendered lifestyle, the Lord will reveal it openly, you know. And I found that really cool. He said that to me one time before, but I didn't think about it. I kind of was like, oh yeah, that is true, and you know. Yeah, that's true. He showed it to me a couple of times, and I was like, yeah, that's true. You know, the secret things, you know, God will reveal the secrets of the hearts of men. And it says that he'll do it in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. But he'll also do it, you know, while you're alive. He'll show you what's in your heart. He'll show you if a heart is surrendered to him, you know, because it'll be demonstrated in your daily life. If a heart is surrendered to him, you should have much more spiritual lifestyle in your workplace, you know, in your common walks with him, in your dirt daily, you know, whatever you do. I get on the bus, you know, are you led to pray for people? Or if you're on the bus, you know, suddenly you walk into a mall, are you led to pray for the people in the mall? Does it seem overwhelming? All these people here, Lord, how am I going to pray for all these people? That's crazy. What, now you want me to pray for everybody coming in and going out? Oh, that's crazy. That's a lot of people. But, you know, what can one person like me do? And you wouldn't think, you know, not having that personal surrendered lifestyle, you know, you're going to do very little walking in the Spirit. You're going to see yourself as very ineffective. And, you know, that's what the Lord caught me off guard with, you know, just to teach me that, you know. What you do in secret, having that strong personal surrendered lifestyle, you know, surrendering to him daily, you know, offering yourself to him daily. And the Lord will reveal, you know, the sons of God open. And I just found that really cool. But yeah, just wanted to share that.
Amen. Well, thank you, Willie. That was good. I'm sure there's some more people out there working with that too. Oh, where did Denny go? Oh, did y'all have something you wanted to say?
No.
Okay. Well, that was short and to the point. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Well, I saw Denny unmute a while ago, and I didn't know if he wanted to say something. What's that?
Yeah, Michael.
Hey, Judy, iPad Judy. What's going on, girl?
Okay, I'd like to have prayer. I'd like you have like for you to say prayer for me. I have toenail fungus and an infection on my body, and I'd just like to have a prayer against that.
Rash.
A rash, and that it goes away in Jesus' name.
Amen. We can do that. Lord, we just come, we lift up Judy to you and her toes, and we command that fungus to go from her in the name of Jesus. I command that toenail to come out nice and pink and pretty. And Father, we thank you for it. And anything else in her body that might be affected by that, in the name of Jesus, we command it to go. In Jesus' name, and all related things with it to go with it, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Father.
Lord.
All right.
Thank you.
Amen.
All right. It's done, any girls? Amen. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I just thought of something. We prayed in the early morning meeting for our daughter Victory and different things, and for God to give her wisdom in dealing with Jonah. And because she's never really disciplined him, except yelling or just letting him go on and do whatever he wanted, whatever. So he's kind of, we prayed for him too, for God to just minister to him and help him to overcome his badness, I guess. He'll swear at the teachers, he'll hit them, he'll hit other kids, and he brings me his bad reports, and she would discipline him somewhat by taking something from him, but we prayed, and God really answered, so we find out that he comes home with a bad report today, and so she said, I gave him a spanking and took away whatever privilege it was, and I was just really glad to hear that. We both were glad to hear that. He looked really sober and somber, you know, and he saw my video chat. He looked really, you know, but he was okay. He didn't seem rebellious or anything like that. And he perked up and was happy with us and everything. But when she said that, he didn't like that, you know. So I just thank the Lord for a quick answer to prayer.
And
that she'll continue to move in that way with him. And then we spoke too about how Jesus disciplines those he loves. And so your mommy disciplines you because she loves you. She disciplines you in love, and she'll let you know she loves you and make sure Victory heard that. So she'll take that with her and make sure she does let him know she loves him. But I was just grateful, so grateful that, because I don't think she's really ever done that before. So, and I just mentioned to him how it's the word says that, you know, children are to be disciplined with even spankings. So just thank the Lord for answering prayer quickly and pray that it continue. Yes.
Amen. How old is he?
He'll be 6 in February, but he's probably like 3 in many ways.
Okay. All right. That woodshed experience sometimes straightens him out pretty quick.
Yeah,
it will. Amen. Well, all right. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I have another praise report, testimony, whatever. I've had this issue with my left foot, my heel. I used to have it on my right foot, and the Lord healed that. And now I had it on my left foot, and just kept, you know, thanking the Lord that it's healed. And the past 3 days now, when I've gone for a walk, I mean, it's felt like really good compared to what it was feeling. So, yep, I'm healed. When you're used to walking and doing a brisk walk and, you know, just feeling like you're full of energy, and then you have that, you know, and it slows you down, and you just don't, it's not that much fun taking a walk when you have an issue like that. And it just feels good to be able to get out there and just go for it. And so thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Pain on a nice gentle walk is not good. I never did enjoy that myself. But all right, anyone else? You knocked your computer off, Judy?
I knocked my picture thing over. But Sue has another.
I have two little praise reports. There are two different days. I was reading the Bible study book that we're on, and my eyes were starting to get kind of itchy and dry feeling. And so I said, Lord, I just pray that you would put some fluid in my eyes. And I went back to reading, you know, after I prayed, I went back to reading, and I'd say within 5 minutes, my eyes started watering, and there was no reason. You know how sometimes you yawn and your eyes will water, or you sneeze and your eyes will water? Nothing happened to make my eyes water. They just watered because I asked the Lord, and he provided the water to my eyes, because sometimes they've gotten dry. And so I was blessed by that. And then another time I was reading the book, and it was talking about faith and believing and everything. And something, I don't remember exactly where it was in that chapter, but it's like I got a revelation, a quick revelation. And at the time, my ears were ringing. One was ringing worse than the other. And I thought, after getting that revelation, you know, it's like the Lord reminded me of my ringing ears. And I thought, yeah, I'm coming against that ringing ears. I have to stop ringing in the name of Jesus. And no sooner did I say that than my left ear stopped ringing. And the right ear was ringing, not as much, it was still ringing, but not like it was. And it finally went away. So praise the Lord. I forgot about those. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to read something from the Daily Bread, yesterday's Daily Bread. I can wait till the testimonies and prayers are over and then read it, if that'd be better.
Well, just whenever you want to.
I can read it now.
Go ahead. But
when I was reading it yesterday, I thought, oh, this is so good. And then you talked about faith in your opening prayer when you were praying. So I thought, okay, then I gotta read this, because that's what it is about, faith. Lessons on faith. Lessons on faith can come from unexpected places, like the one I learned from my 110-pound black Labrador retriever, Bear. Bear's large metal water bowl was located in the corner of the kitchen. Whenever it was empty, he wouldn't bark or paw on it. Instead, he would just lie down quietly beside it and wait. Sometimes he would have to wait several minutes. That's the rest. We need to go in the rest. But Bear had learned to trust that I would eventually walk into the room, see him there, and provide what he needed. His simple faith in me reminded me of my need to place more trust in God. The Bible tells us that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see, in Hebrews 11:1. The foundation of this confidence and assurance is God himself, who rewards those who earnestly seek him. God is faithful to keep his promises to all who believe and come to him through Jesus. Sometimes having faith in what we do not see isn't easy, but we can rest in God's goodness and his loving character, trusting that his wisdom is perfect in all things. Even when we have to wait, he is always faithful to do what he says, to save our eternal souls and meet our deepest needs, now and forever. Almighty Father, thank you for your faithfulness to always take care of me. Help me to trust you and to rest in your perfect love today. And we give you all the praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. That's good, Judy. We got to have faith. You can't mealy mouth around faith. You just have to have it. There ain't but one way to get it, and that's getting in the Word and praying in the Spirit. Two ways, maybe. All right. Anybody else? Well, since she was on faith, I wanted to read something out of the book that we have been studying. That's for this week's chapter. The Lord has already given everything to us. That's why we're to believe we have received all things whatsoever we pray and ask for. All things whatsoever were given to us at the cross as a free gift. It's not as if you have to talk God into giving you a healing or deliverance or provision or protection or sanctification. You don't have to talk God into it. You just have to believe you have received whatever you ask, because God already took care of it. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." It's already been accomplished, folks. It's already been paid for. Redemption from the curse and provision for life was truly accomplished at the cross. In fact, God's works were finished from the foundation of the world. That's when he spoke the plan into existence. It's already been taken care of. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3. "For we who have believed do enter into that rest. Even as he has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." The only thing left is for the true sons of God to enter into those works by faith, believing they have received. So since the works were finished, we should believe and rest from our own works. We can't save or heal or deliver ourselves, but we can exercise faith in those promises so that they come to pass. This resting in faith on the grounds of God's promises is to rest in the wilderness that God expected of the Israelites. Hebrews 4 and 3. "For we who have believed do enter into that rest." When you believe these past tense promises, what do? When you believe that you have been saved, were healed, were translated, have been crucified, have been redeemed, have been perfected, have been sanctified, have been blessed in all things, when you believe it's already been done, what can you do to bring it to pass? If you do something to bring it to pass, what you're saying is, "I don't believe it has been accomplished." Folks, I have tested this out for many, many years, and I know it works, and I know it works consistently. Me too. I just wanted to throw that out there. Faith is something that you have to believe in. That's all. That's all you do. You know, you don't have to go to the doctor. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do nothing. All you have to do is believe. Let me tell you something else. When you when you come against God, I just don't believe, when you start cursing yourself and cursing those around you and you quit blessing folks and you start thinking on the negative side of it, what you're doing, you're taking God out the picture. You're just taking him out of the picture. He's out of the picture. So what we have to do is do what the Word of God says, and we speak as an oracle of God. We don't speak as we used to, you know. You know how we used to speak, you know. Well, I just don't know what I'm going to do. You know, the silly things that we say in time. Listen, Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue is a mighty, what is it? Somebody help me here.
Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who eat, or those who, and those who.
That's right, Barbara. Praise God, girl, you getting it.
Those who love it, thereof. Amen.
That's what I was looking for. Come on, girl. You hit right in there. That's right. You getting it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. That's good. Thank you, Barbara. Yep. That tongue is a mighty rudder, too. And it steers you which way you're going to go. Which way you're going to go? You're going to go with God, or you're going to go with what you believe? Anytime that you speak against the Word of God, you're taking God out of it. Anytime that you do that, you know, well, I just don't believe I can do that. I just don't believe this. Yeah, God says, okay, I'm just going to step back and let you do whatever you think you're going to do, you know. Well, I don't believe God heals anymore. That comes from a lot of churches. I just don't believe God heals anymore. I just don't believe God delivers anymore. I don't believe Christians have demons. Y'all ever heard that one? But it's going through the churches like wildfire. I just don't believe Christians got demons. When Jesus himself, all he ever delivered were people of God. That's what he was delivering, was people of God. Okay, well, I just wanted to throw that in there. I think the Lord wanted me to say that, and so that's what I said. Faith, got to have it to get in through this tribulation time. Listen, if you've lost the love of Christ in your life, ask God for it. That's what he said to do. Ask God to put a hunger in your heart for the Word of God. And he'll ignite that fire in you if you want it. If you'd rather just go ahead and lay back in your flesh like we like to do at times, you know, and not do anything, well, you don't expect anything. You have to believe that when you pray, that you believe that it's going to happen. And it'll happen. That's faith. Calling those things that are not as though they were. So that's something we have to do. We have to do some things. And our job is to believe and to do. When we see something that we've been doing is not according to the Word of God, he says to repent and then believe, didn't he? You know what Jesus said? Repent. That means change. Change what you're doing. Go ahead and do something else. That ain't working for you. Go ahead and do what the Lord says to do. That'll work for you. Every time. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Barry. Go ahead, brother.
What book is that you were reading from?
Fear Not the Wilderness.
Okay.
Yeah, so Fear Not the Wilderness. We're on, Can it's God prepare? Book, yeah, fairly new, yeah. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? This is chapter one. I don't know what chapter 5, 6, 7, 8.
Five.
Yeah, okay. It's five.
Michael? Good.
Yes.
If anybody wants that book, you know, tell them to contact me and I'll send them one.
You just did.
Okay.
Amen. All right. Yeah, that's a good book. It's the first time we've been through it in the Bible study. We've been through some of them twice, but that one we just started. as a book. You know, we did it as a PDF. Go ahead, George. You got something?
Well, I was wondering who just said that. I had my phone on driving mode. Who has those books?
That's Judy.
How do we get your information, Judy? Your contact information.
It's Judy at BR549.
Well, my, I'll give you my email. It's J.
Why don't you
phone number?
Put it up on the chat. No, just put it, get your email.
Okay.
Up on the chat. And y'all can email her, and she'll email her your address, and she'll send it to you. If you give it out, you're liable to have all kinds of people out there in the world trying to contact you, give you something. Amen. All right, anyone else? Anything else, George?
I'm having technical difficulties. It looks like I'm schizophrenic. I got two blocks on the Brady Bunch up here.
Okay.
But what you were talking about faith. Oh, Lord, I'm going to have to lose one of these. I'm trying.
You just ain't moving.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, there you are.
Lord.
Where?
Here I am. All right.
Oh, there you are.
No, I've been chewing on what Jesus paid for a while. And just thinking of how we have to grab a hold of it and not let go of the sacrifice that he paid for, the benefits that he gave us, and see only that no matter what else comes at us when we have a situation come up. I mean, basically anything that does come up, sometimes you can live a pretty peaceable life and you're just blessed. And people around you have opportunities, and you've got the word for them, and you can think of scripture on how other people can live their life. But it's a lot, it's whether you're received when you're trying to give that good word to people or not. But when you finally do get adversaries and even family members or anybody coming against your faith or being Judases and really being ugly in your life, you find that you, when you get the opportunity to live out the word, that you don't want to blow it. You actually want to have the word in you, first of all, and then you want to walk it out. And what's the word say? Count it all joy. During diverse temptations, it's like, wow, here we go. I'm finally in the mix again. You know, you go through stuff and then you are victorious and it feels like you don't go through anything for a while. But more and more you see people who are really going through like health issues, and you got to figure that we're being trained to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from victory to victory, from trial to victory, from trial to victory. So whatever we can do to stay sharp, and, you know, the Bible says, when you've done all to stand, stand therefore. You know, we've got the good news, the victory. The battle's already been won. The spoils are laying out there everywhere for us to go out on the battlefield and collect. And whether it's in our own life or other people's lives, we've got to be tuned in and live by the Spirit and be willing to forget about ourselves and forget about the repercussions of stepping out in faith and delivering that good news You know, we've got to understand that the world is going to hate us. You know, go ahead and settle that. The popularity contest is over. The only one we're here to please is Jesus, the captain of our salvation, the one who already gave it all for us. You know, he took the beating. He paid such a price for the things that we let walk right by and say, well, I guess I'll just take this. I'll take this on. You know, I'll carry this one, Lord, when he's like, no, I've already paid a price for that. You go on and move on to helping somebody else. I've already paid for your healing. I've already paid for your deliverance. I want you to be free. You put the oxygen mask on yourself, and then you help all the three rows around you, and don't let the plane go down. Go pull the pilot out and get him saved. You know, there's just a lot of work to do, and I guess that's just where my head's at lately is I got to, whether I'm going through something or not, I got to get deeper in the word, like my life depends on it, because there's so many other lives that really do. So me being stuck up here on a glacier on the, you know, the end of the world, I can't just figure that God stuck us in Maine and here we are. There's something going on, and that's same with everybody else. There's connections, and there's a whole lot of technology that we can still take advantage of and reach a ton of people. So I guess it's just, you know, while we can still work, let's work. And when the time comes that we can't work, then let's hunker down and hear God even more and just keep, you know, not let the gates of hell prevail against us. This is who we've got. We are the ones that were born for such a time as this. We're not waiting on any great heroes of the faith. We're looking at them. There's like 22 blocks of heroes on this screen right now. And be faithful and win. And if you feel like your head's going under, reach your hand up above the water, and one of us is going to grab a hold of you, and we're going to fight with you and get you where you need to be. And everybody that's connected with you is going to win, and we're all going to win, and we're all going to bring everybody with us. And this is just the beginning. So let's go ahead and get on up so we can see what God's got for us, because it's awesome. That's all I got right now.
Well, that's a lot. I tell you what, George, that's been on my heart too, because what you do affects a lot of folks, a lot of folks. When you're in Christ, you have to understand that you're not there for yourself. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for everybody else. Because the lives that you're going to affect between now and the time that Lord takes you home could be thousands, could be millions. I don't know, you know, whatever. But I'm going to tell you something. It's when you get out of that mindset of, well, I just don't have time. You got to get out of I had a vision many years ago of one of the guys sitting up on a cliff. And the Lord was with him. This guy was full of me, you know, that kind of stuff. But the Lord was sitting there kicking the letter I off the cliff, kicking it one right after another, right off the cliff. That's why he wants us to be. I's don't matter anymore. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And it's all about getting the people around you saved. And you do that by praying for them mostly. That's our job, is to pray for them. And also when the opportunity arises, you witness with the word of God. And that's why George was talking about, you got to get the word of God in you first before you can witness with the word of God. And when you do that, you're going to affect people's life, because the word of God is life. And praise God. That's good. Thank you, George. Got me fired up. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Well, you got there, Pat. That ain't a big old bottle of champagne, is it? My aggression.
No, it isn't. It's water.
Oh, okay. That's a good answer.
Well, that was good, George. I appreciate that. That helps. So I'll lift up my hand as well above the water. It seems like in the last week or two or whatever, it seems like I've been going under. And I was, it seems like I was reading in Ezekiel today. And I go back to the calls of the prophets and how God called them and whatever. And I just, I guess I'm, maybe my eyes are on the situation that is happening in the world today. Whoa. And I get overwhelmed because even when I'm reading, like, I'm just going to read a verse, a couple of verses in Ezekiel in chapter 2. God's talking to him. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak with thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me on my feet. He set me on my feet. And I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to the nations that are rebellious, which have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. And I look at that and I think that is exactly what is happening today. We are sitting in the midst of a generation of not only the wicked, the ungodly, but those that are supposed to be righteous and carry the name of Christ, they are as well wicked and unrighteous and have profaned the name of God in the world today. I mean, you just need to look out over the horizon, over the religious landscape in the world, and you see that all over the place. But he said to Ezekiel, and the children are imprudent and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord Jehovah. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And it's like God in Ezekiel's life was sending him into this environment knowing that he was going to face rebellion, rejection, persecution. He was going to receive that they would be against him. But he wanted to do that for a particular reason, to provide a witness to those people for that reason. And I was listening to what Willie was talking about, a surrendered life, a place of surrender. And it hit me that surrender, that type of surrendered life, I don't feel I have. And And because of that, these words that I have just read there, that where God called Ezekiel and sent him forth, I don't feel that if God were to say that to me, I don't feel that there that surrendered life, or that I just feel that in my condition right now, there it would be more fear involved with walking that out than one who would be completely surrendered, no matter what the cost. So I just that is just banging around in me right now. So I toss that out as really more of a prayer request. I guess I just feel overwhelmed in the midst of this whole process. But anyway, not to throw a damper on all the testimony, but I had to throw this out. Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's all. Listen, there's been more than one that have just contacted me in the last few days that they don't feel like they're right where they need to be with the Lord, and for whatever reason, you know. Look, it's not a feeling. It's not anything but believing. That's all it is. It's believing and getting in the Word and understanding what the Word says. Look, you've already accepted God's call, and that call is to be like Jesus, right? That's to bear the fruit of Jesus in your life. All we need to do now is just believe that God's doing that in us. It's already settled. God has already done it. He's doing it inside of you. So all we need to do now is take a hold of that Word, take fast hold of that Word, to remember that the God of peace sanctified you already. Faithful is he which calleth you, who also will do it, he said. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. Get out of there in the name of Jesus. So, in that faith that we're talking about here, all we have to do now is get in that quiet place and listen for God's voice, you know. Always have to save time for God. Every day, save time for God. Let it be something that you do daily. And look, to begin with, this walk at first is a discipline to read the Word of God. And then once you start understanding the Word of God, you start loving it. And then once you start loving it, then you start loving God. And, you know, it's a progressive thing. It's not something that happens overnight. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it's all, our walk is all by faith. And but we still need to do what he says, is renew your mind daily with the Word of God. And so we have to do that as well. And I would praise God every day. That's what I was doing before I came on here. I was just praising God with some good old praise music, you know. That's always a help to understand a little bit better about praising. Last night, we had a great time at the fellowship. We have a Monday night prayer meeting that we all get together, and we just pray for the things that are needed. But before we do that, we go into praise and worship. And we had an awesome time with the Lord last night in our praise. It was really cool. It was really good. And what happened was that one of the ladies, Eve, had a vision. And that vision was that she saw angels all around us, saw angels. And then she saw the Lord and what the Lord was doing. He was cocking his ear, and he was listening to our praising, our praises. Now, somebody else is going to have to help me. Was there anything that he said, Denny or Debbie or Sue or Judy, or was it just that was just the vision?
she would say.
I thought that God was looking down and smiling.
Yeah. Yeah, he was cocking his head. She said he was cocking his head like this and listening.
Listening.
God, and smiling.
Father. While he's on his throne, I guess.
And she said that the
notes nearby.
Yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
She said the notes were tickling his ear.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. She could see the notes going up and tickling his ear. That's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. So we were encouraged last night. Quite readily. It was good. It's awesome. Man, that make you get excited, you know. God's listening to us. He said we have an open heaven. You know what an open heaven is? He's listening to your prayers. Y'all have an open heaven. He's listening to your prayers. Wade, go ahead, brother. I just now saw your hand up.
Yes. Very short. Sue had ringing in her ears, and God stopped it. I get ringing in my ears kind of often, but sometimes it's terrible, blasting real loud. The other day, my left ear and my right ear were both ringing, but my left ear stopped when I was praying for God to stop my ears from ringing. It stopped my left ear, but not my right. And all of a sudden, my right ear went to full volume, as loud as it could possibly ring. And I prayed to God, and just like that, it was gone. I'm learning to pray to God concerning things, you know, my body or my mind. And I just, you know, thank God for that.
Amen. Yeah, just command that thing, that ringing, to stop in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, Wade. That's cool. All right. Yeah, it was awesome last night. We got to open heaven, folks. And in time that we go ahead, Wade. Or not. You know you're muted. Wade.
Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was showing raised hand. I thought it was lowered hand.
No, I always lower it. And then you must have hit it thinking you was wearing it, lowering it.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? When we understand that our life, our Christian walk, I'm talking about believers. I'm not talking about just a regular Christian. I'm talking about people like us that understand the gospel and are understanding and getting more truth every day. The lives that you affect ought to keep us in the Word, ought to keep us praying. I'm not trying to put law on anybody, but I'm just saying, we have a lot of people that's going to be dependent on us in the days ahead. And what we do between now and then is going to determine how effective you're going to be. Go ahead, Joe.
No, yeah, I just wanted to say, I want to, I guess, follow your lead, Pat. You know, I've got some things I got to confess and, well, it goes in line with what you said, George, and what you said, Michael. And I, you know, I've been, well, I mean, it seems to be whatever my prayer requests always are. You know, I don't really feel like I have much to offer a lot of times. But, you know, I must confess, you know, I guess, I mean, I'm one of those people who texted you, you know, just put it out there, Michael. I just, you know, as you know, I mean, I've been dealing with so much lately, and I just kind of, I must confess, well, I mean, I'm a very selfish person. You know, I'm so beyond self-absorbed that I, you know, I mean, I just don't have that desire to reach out to others a lot of times. And if I do, it's for my own benefit, you know, so it's selfish, you know, it's not for others' benefit. And I guess I just, you know, I listen to what you said, George, you know, I listen to what others say. And I just was like, you know, you I mean, yeah, you know, the more I guess I learn, the harder it is, because I have to realize now, and I guess I've never really dealt with this for many years, and I just, at times I thought about it, but I just kind of swept it back under the carpet. But yeah, it's not about us. Never was about us. And I've known no other way, you know, be about me, you know. I've always had to kind of fend for myself, you know, and look out after myself. And those who tried to help me, you know, it's been easy just to push them away. But yeah, I guess God is dealing with that, you know, with me lately. It's not about you. You know, you've got a lot of people, like you said, Michael, you influence a lot of people. We influence people every day, you know, for good or bad, you know, negative or positive. And I mean, unfortunately, it's been a lot of negative, you know, but I must confess, I'm just so consumed with myself anymore that I struggle to break free of that, to even care about others. I mean, genuinely, selflessly care about others, you know, and who probably will never benefit me, you know, and at times I've found myself, but it doesn't last. You know, that self-life is just, it's been in so much control that it just, you know, it just kind of comes and it goes, you know, it's like a flicker of just kind of selflessness, you know, and it just, it's not there. So I just want to confess that, and, you know, keep me in prayer about it, you know, and, you know, there is somewhat of a desire, you know, I guess left, I mean, to serve God, but it's just, it just seems like such a big wall, you know, to overcome that self-life, you know, to just lay your whole life down and just not even be concerned one bit about yourself. I mean, when I hear that from time to time, I'm like, wow, you know, God, you know, you're going to have to do it in me. You know, I have no idea, but I know it's you know, who can cause me to not even think of myself one bit, you know, and reach out to others or to serve you, you know, to love you, to consider you above myself. So, yeah, I mean, that just feels like a huge giant, you know, for me, that selfish, whatever that is, you know, and there, I don't know if there's something deeper at the core there, but I think that's pretty deep now that I think about it, you know, the core of a lot of my issues, you know, it's not so much a lack of desire, lack of motivation. It's just selfishness. You know, I mean, if you're so selfish, you don't desire, you're not motivated, you know, you're motivated to do what you want. But then I think the more I realize it's not about me, the least I feel motivated. So, yeah.
That's why I like that book, How Shall We Die? It gives us a direction to go and a direction to pray and how to kill the flesh. And that's what it is. It's just the flesh. All of us have gone through it, Joe. It's not something that's unique to you. It's everybody goes through it. And it's just a matter of wanting the Lord more than you want yourself. And first, I'll just say this. First of all, we have to have a fear of God. When you have a fear of God, that should be enough motivational factor right there to want us to go right. But then that fear turns into, after you learn more about the Lord, learn His ways and His grace and His mercy and His love toward us, then that fear turns to reverential fear and love. So it's a process. It's a walk-in process. And we do that by staying in the Word, praying, getting around other people, like-minded believers, and fellowshipping and learning these things. You're the first step you've taken is to confess that you have that problem. You're on the road. I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to take it from you. In the name of Jesus right now, I command that spirit of self-gratification to go from him right now in the name of Jesus. I bind you up and send you out off of him right now in Jesus' name. Loose yourself from Joe right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to place in him a hunger for that word. And I ask, Lord, that you place a fear on him that where he would be motivated to get into the word more and to get into loving more and We just thank you, Lord, that you're taking that old stony heart and making the heart of flesh out of it and placing love and joy and a servant attitude in Joe. And we just praise you, Father. He's come a long way, but we all, just like us all, we still have a ways to go. And, Father, I thank you that he just does it moment by moment. He doesn't have to wait until and see somebody else is 10 miles ahead of him. He just knows that he's plugging along and he's doing what you want him to do, Lord. And that's what you want us to do. You just want us to be saved moment by moment. Am I doing what God wants me to do this particular moment? This day, am I doing what God wants me to do? And Lord, let it be ever mindful on all of our hearts to be in that type of attitude. Today is sufficient for today. You know, it's got a bunch of evil here today to take care of. We don't have to worry about tomorrow, the next day, or sometime down the road. We just have to worry about this moment we're in right now. And Father, I thank you for placing that in all of us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
You're going to be fine. Amen. All right, anybody else?
I'd like to encourage anybody going through a battle like that with the flesh or whatever it is to read Zechariah 2 and 3, chapters 2 and 3. It's just talking about living. It's just funny. Everywhere I go in those two chapters, I'm just getting these awesome nuggets. And the one word there in 2 verse 7 says, O Zion, escape thou that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon, because thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory has he sent me unto the nations which plundered you, for he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand over them, and they shall be a spoil to those that serve them. And I just think about the society in which all of us live, how corrupt it is and how bombarding it is to have to be out in it. But God is, we're the apple of his eye. He's looking at us intently as we are just riding these waves of attack and everything that comes at all of our senses and the media and everything, the information and the trauma and the mind control and everything, the electronic, everything, anything you can think of it. We're living in a time where the battle is raging and we're just in our weakness. God is going to make us strong. The one at the end of chapter 2, verse 13, it says, be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is waked up out of his holy habitation. And I find so much comfort in that, to me, to speak to my own flesh, to be silent, because God is awake and moving, and we're going to see God in ways that we can only dream of. We've just got to be patient. And if I've ever had any victory, it's been to hold my tongue and wait just a little while on God. And you get trials and you get tests. And it's like the old saying goes about they only assumed somebody was a fool until he opened his mouth and confirmed it. And that's my life. I have ruined my testimony and I've embarrassed myself in every relationship I have on this planet. But I'm maturing above that with the help of this UBM ministry and the teachings and the wisdom of the word. And just gaining, even if it's a future victory in my own imagination, hearing what somebody else did to overcome, I set myself up to not embarrass myself and not ruin my testimony when I get the next chance by just holding my tongue in that trial and then hearing maybe it's Brother David's words or Brother Michael's words or one of your guys' testimonies, but I hear words of encouragement because in every temptation, God makes a way out of temptation. And that way out of temptation is in that pause before we go ahead and speak and step out in the flesh. And in that pause, we hear those words of encouragement. We hear that word of wisdom that says, be still and watch me. You know, temptation knocks on our door and Jesus comes to answer the door. And that's the worst thing that Satan could ever have is for us to gain a victory. Because once we get one, we ain't going to have a taste for nothing else. So just get that victory and hold on to that one. And then just go ahead and do your workout in the Word or listening to good MP3s or whatever it's going to take to get those voices that are encouragement and strength that you will hear instead of those voices of the world and old wives' tales and every kind of stupid saying and colloquialism and, you know, whatever you hear at when you're eating peanuts at the bar. You know, that ain't going to benefit nobody. And trust me, I've dragged from one end of it to the other, and I'm done. And, you know, what did Jesus say? The devil has no part in him. The devil has no part in any of us. All we are here for is for God's glory. So just get those good, encouraging voices so that when the temptation comes, you can tell that flesh to be silent because the Lord is awake. Okay. Thank y'all.
Amen. Good words of wisdom. Praise God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
First of all, that was good encouraging words from Joe. That's what you are talking about is very much related to me. And I think I got too much of myself still in situations. I want to do it just right, not according to the word, but you have to just do it right. And I think that's too much of myself, so I have to confess that's not good. I have to be the Lord first, like the branch in the vine. It's the branch can do nothing. It's just it's totally dependent on the vine, 100%. That's what we must be of Jesus, and I'm still lacking a bit of that, and I need some prayer for that, even on mine.
Amen. Yep, we all go through that. Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
Well, maybe we'll pray for Joe there. Real quick.
Go ahead, brother.
Thank you for bringing Joe into this fellowship. He's really been a blessing to all of us. It's nice to have brothers around the world we can come in Christ in union with. Lord, help him to be part of this divine. Let him grow more in you. You be the branch, Father. You supply all our needs and bring us into the fullness of Christ. Give us that faith to allow you to do that work and not to get ahead of you, not to feel like we're not coming into that image that we think we should be seeing, but allow us to be patient to let you do the work and fulfill what you're going to do in the promises that you gave us, that you would strengthen us, you'd renew us, you would lead us and guide us, and you would perfect us. And we're going to do this by faith, Lord. And we're just going to wait on you. We're not going to get ahead of you, but we're going to allow this work, perfect work, to be done on all of us. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing this in Joe right now, and every one of us. Thank you, Father. Amen.
This might help you, Joe. It had been, but I don't know, last week, I believe it was, one of the ladies had a word for me, and the Lord told her to tell me to quit getting ahead of him. To quit getting ahead of him. Well, I thought on that, and I said, oh, okay. He said, take my hand, Michael. In other words, he wants to lead. He wants to take me to where this will happen in his time and the way he wants it to happen and not the way I want it to happen. You know, and that's what we have to do. We have to just wait on the Lord. This ain't the first time he's told me that. I tend to want to help God out a lot, and I can't help him out, you know. And so I've just consigned myself to the fact that it doesn't make any difference what you know. It's how you get there, okay? You have to wait on the Lord in everything and just know that he's the one that's in charge. You take him by the hand, and that's what I try to do it every morning. Lord, here's my hand. Take me, lead me, and let you take me through this walk rather than me trying to help you out. And it works a lot better, and you don't get under condemnation. You stay with the Lord, and everything's cool. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I had a couple things happen to me over the weekend. Of course, I was at the wedding, and, you know, it all fell in line with some of this. You know, I had an opportunity to actually talk to one of their leaders about a little more deeper things in Christ. Not a lot, just enough, you know. But one of the things that came out was by one offering, he's perfected forever them that are sanctified. I said that because he was quoting his church fathers, and I went back to the Word, and I said, you know, God's Word is there. He's never going to go against what he said in the Bible. I said, everything he said is his Word. You can count on whatever you're going to read and hear is from God. I said, and then I said that, and he says, well, we'll be perfected when we get to heaven. And then I said, well, you know, if you're going to try to work out your perfection here and think that you can do it yourself, which a lot of people try, and they get frustrated and they see how far they can fall away from what they can't do in themselves, and they see how imperfect they are. Well, yeah, that's a pretty hard statement to believe. But I said, you know, this is one of those things you take by faith. You can't do it yourself. You got to take this gift that he gave you of perfection. You got to just let it happen by his work in you. Then that's what's going to happen. It's going to be his work, not yours. So it's by faith we're going to be perfected. We're coming in as perfection. It's not by our works. And he seen that and he got it. And that was just one thing. And then I had another thing, like we talked about people come up against us. When I had my older brother come up against me a little bit, he's kind of an Edomite, you know, as far as him being Esau, me being Jacob, you know, he's kind of throwing his birthright away a little bit. So I've seen that come out. And it's like, that's my trial a little bit with that. So I had those two things happening. And I kind of had reflecting on them, the biggest events of the weekend. But the Lord gave me this too, you know, because, you know, here we are, where we go through these things in our mind, and we kind of look things over and look for God in these circumstances, and what, how we did we screw up, or where else do we, you know, have we stepped wrong, or did we step right? And we're talking about this a little bit here, you know, we all are. And he gave me Ecclesiastes 5:6 to help out a little bit with this. And he's 5:6 and 5:7. He says, don't allow your mouth to lead you into sin. He says, don't protest before the messenger that this was a mistake. Well, you know what? You know, if God's pulling us through these things, don't look at him and say, hey, whoa, God, I just, you know, I'm not sure about any of this. And, you know, we're not, he's the one that's going to be doing this in our life. So it's not a mistake. He says, and the best thing is keep your mouth shut and don't get in front of him. What we're finding out here, because it might just, you know, you're going to be saying things you shouldn't say. So this, be patient and trust God, you know, like Willie was talking about absolute surrender. That's where we're going. He continues to say, why should God be angry at your voice? Yeah, he does listen to what we're saying, you know, so we don't want to make compound things with our mouth and destroy the works of your hands. What if you got some good works going here and things that were working well, but we just let that mouth kind of get run a little bit afterwards and we're not really sure and we're doubting. That's why we have this thinking the messenger was a mistake. We're having this unbelief going on, right? We're letting that come on us. We don't want that on us. So don't let this destroy the work of your hands. Don't let it get in the way of what's been being accomplished here. It says, for the multitude of dreams, there are vanities. So we get this stuff rambling in our heads, you know, we're kind of mulling things over. This was good, that wasn't, and maybe I should this or that, whatever. We're going through this questioning process and reliving things. He says, as well as in the many words, says, as well as in many words. In other words, don't let a lot of words come out that are going to be causing grief or problems, you know, in this process. You know, let your words be few right now. But you must fear God. You know, continue that fear of God, and that trust, and it's going to work out. But we don't want to let what we are experiencing think that, hey, there's something going on that shouldn't be happening here. No, it's everything's right. Everything's going through in the right process. We just got to sit back and get back into that rest and be confident that God's working a good work out in all of us.
How you mean? Anybody else? I made some notes the other day on holiness, and I'm going to read some of the main ones that y'all already know about. Galatians 5 and 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. You know, the flesh and the spirit are enemies, aren't they? We've heard that in David's studies a lot. The flesh representing that old carnal man has to die, he talks about. Romans 8 and 7 says, because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And then John 14, 21. It's pretty self-explanatory, these verses are. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Do you hear that? Will manifest myself unto him. In other words, God's going to make sure that you understand he's going to manifest himself unto you. If you do what he tells you here, you're going to manifest God all over yourself. Then verse 23 of John 14. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Oh, praise God. Obeying the Son is obeying the word, okay? And obeying the Son is to lay down my life and take up Jesus' life. That's where the self-life dies, right there. you give up your life to take up Jesus's life. It's a whole lot happier life when you do that. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man would come after me, you understand, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So that's what we do now. We just deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. And when you do that, you're a servant of mankind. You're a king over the devil. You understand? And you're a friend of Jesus. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Anybody else? That's the life that God's got for us, folks. Once you get into it, it's a joyous life. How many of you love to praise God and get into praise and worship, and you feel the Spirit just flowing all through you, you know? Am I the only one that experiences that? I know better than that. I know all of y'all experience that glory. I know you do too, Joe. I've seen you get into the Spirit over there at the fellowship. We all do. You can stay in at it 24/7. You can. It's the first thing in the morning. You get in there and you ask God, I want to be close to you, Lord. Come to me, Lord. I'm just going to sit here and wait until your presence, and do it by faith. You do it by faith. And when you do it by faith, God will come to you. I'm here, brother. I'm here. And then you can just start reading the word. Say, God, what about this right here? What does this mean? And you hear, well, go over here and I'll show you what it means. That's just awesome. And then, Lord, just be with me all day long. Guide my steps and make my mouth say only what you want me to say and not what I want to say, because what I say sometimes gets me in trouble, but most of the time. And he will. Somebody raised their hands. Who was it that raised their hand? Yeah, Sue, go ahead.
What were you saying about Jesus being your friend and everything? All of a sudden, I had this song. It's a long time ago that I had this song, but I feel like I'm supposed to sing it because the Lord brought it to my attention. And the words just remind me of what you were saying. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is my Lord. I will follow him for now and evermore. For now and evermore. He's a rock on which I stand. He's a Lord. The great I am, he lifts me up when I am down. That is why I sing you this song, cause Jesus is my friend. Jesus is my Lord. I'll obey his word for now and evermore. For now and evermore. For now and evermore. Amen.
Michael, you're on. You're muted.
You're muted.
No, I'm not.
Well, now you're on. Yeah.
Amen. No, I was checking. I got an email from Tracy. Let me see what she wants. Tracy Doten. She said. Oh, okay. Hang on just a second. She's at the library. She's having the. Hang on, just y'all give me a sec. Somebody can go ahead and talk while I'm trying to do this.
I'm going to rev it up.
Go for it.
I keep thinking about the covenant that we have and how awesome our King is. And I don't want to really mix profane with the holy, but I keep thinking of the world's most awesome biker gang or wolf pack or pride of lions, whatever you want to call it, something where the leader has got a reputation and he is the baddest, most awesome person. He's worth following. And when we put on our jacket, we get our covenant and we're baptized into Christ, we're part of a gang that nobody can come against. And there's a lot of people that are supposed to be following in line and running down the road to get on that mountain that can't be touched, but they're following people who are teaching about a leader that is not, you know, he even might have the same name, but he ain't the Jesus that we follow. And we got to start praying more for the unified body of Christ to shake and shake and shake until it shakes out of following false Jesuses and learns who the real Jesus that Scripture teaches is, so they can follow the real leader and get in that unified body and be led by the one shepherd. And I believe it's, you know, that's the days we're coming in, is where our greatest pride is who we follow, the real Jesus. And that covenant that we have should be our security. When, if you can picture yourself putting on that jacket where people just look at you and they look away, the devil and his minions, when they see us in our covenant, flexing our covenant, they look away and run away because they don't want nothing to do with what that represents. The one that started this movement, the one that is the leader of our gang, he's got a reputation. And we, as we follow him, are going to have a reputation also. You know, Jesus they know, and Paul they know. They're going to know us as well, because we are about to go on a spree of just saturating and collecting brothers. We're going to find out who's supposed to be in the body of Christ, and they're coming in. And they've got machinery. You know, I might be riding an old jalopy, but I'm on the right road. But these other guys, there's some very talented people that are sitting in places that are just dead and draining the life out of them. And all those nice, that nice machinery is going to come and hook up and give us a boost. And, you know, I don't want to overlook the gifts that God's put in his body just because they're out there and haven't quite hooked up yet. They're coming, and it's going to be awesome for us to have some good words for some people that are come in and put some wind in our sails. We've been towing the line and holding on to this tug of war till our fingers are about to bleed, waiting on the breakthrough and that anointing, that rain, that latter rain. Keep holding on, because when the rest of them, you know, there's some 600 pounders fixing to get on the end of the line and lean back, and it's going to get a whole lot easier. So they're coming in, and God's resources, all of his overflow of wealth, the wealth of the wicked being laid up for the righteous, it's all, every promise is coming, and we're just holding on and holding on. So keep holding on, because we've got the good news, and there's some power and some awesome treasures and investment that the God's got that's about to pay off. Praise the Lord.
Amen, George. That's good. I'm getting fired up, man. I want one of them 600-pound guys on my side, too. Praise God. Pulling on that rope. Go ahead, Missy.
You know, all this talk about, you know, the flesh and the old man and getting rid of it and everything. I was reading in the Prayer Life, Andrew Murray, and there was this one section here that just really impressed me, and the Lord was showing me some things in it. And I can't share everything because it would take too long. But this is what I saw and what he said was this. You know, he says, think about this, these scriptures. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Believe that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That is the secret of the prayer life. Take time in the inner chamber to bow down and worship and wait on him until he unveils himself and takes possession of you and goes out with you to show how a man may live and walk in abiding fellowship with an unseen Lord. And he goes on to say, do you long to know how you may always experience deliverance from the sin of prayerlessness? Here you have the secret. Believe in the Son of God and give him time in the inner chamber to reveal himself in his ever-present nearness as the eternal Almighty One, the eternal love who watches over you. You will experience what up until now you have perhaps not known, that it has not entered into the heart of man what God can do for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. And I'm thinking about this, and the Lord brought to my mind, it's in Isaiah 45:11, where the Lord, where it says, command ye me. And I wrote down, if y'all want to write this down, because this really impressed me, I wrote that down, Isaiah 45:6-13, and then also Isaiah 64:4-12. And they're very similar. But I went and I read from 1 Corinthians 2:6 the whole way to the end to 16. And this is the God that we have dwelling in us. The very same God that was in Jesus, the Father, is in us too. And we have the Spirit. And this is the Spirit that dwells in us. We have the power. The Lord says, I have the authority to lay down my life, and I have authority to take it up. We have that same authority by the power of the Spirit in us. And this is the Spirit. I'm going to read 6-16. This is the Spirit of God that dwells in Jesus too. And we can have that same relationship. And if we press into the Lord and want to have this prayer life, all it is praying without ceasing. Praying without ceasing is uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord. Sometimes we can make it so high-minded and such a big thing, but just to sit before the Lord and just desire to have fellowship with him and just rest and not strain yourself to, I gotta hear from God now, and I, you know, blah, 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 whatever, and just trust and believe that he's going to speak to you and that you're going to hear from him and he's going to guide and direct you and whatever, all that stuff. But I'm going to read this. And this Spirit that it's talking about here, the Spirit of God, is the very same Spirit. It's Jesus. You know, you said he's going to send another comforter. But Jesus, we know that Jesus is the wisdom of God. Okay, and this is what it's talking about here. But anyway, we speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown, yet a wisdom not of this world, nor the rulers of this world who are coming to naught. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory, which none of the rulers of this world hath known, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which eye saw not and ear heard not, which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For who among men knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God none knoweth, save the Spirit of God. We have that Spirit in us. But we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God. Can I say through Jesus Christ our Lord? Which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Spirit teaches, combining spiritual things with spiritual words. Now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's our carnal man, our flesh. For they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually judged. But he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That we should instruct him. Command ye me, is what he said in Isaiah 45:11. But anyway, I was just like, so encouraged by that, what all the Lord was showing me. But like I said, go look up Isaiah 45:6-13 and 64:4-12. It's just, it's God. Says, I don't quite remember what it was saying in the Isaiah verses that I shared, but I remember him saying about God's hands doing these things. Command ye me the work of my hands or whatever. And didn't Jesus do that? He heard from the Father, and he did according to what the Father was telling him, and he commanded healing, he commanded deliverance, and a lot of different things. But anyway, I was encouraged by all that. And I still want to go back and look at it some more again, because I know there's so much more there.
Let me just read that Isaiah 45:6-13, okay?
Okay.
That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord that doeth all these things. Distill, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open that it may bring forth salvation, and let it cause righteousness to spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker, a potsherd among the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashions it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that says unto a father, what begettest thou, or to a woman, with what travailest thou? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me of the things that are to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Listen to this. Command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will make straight all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let my exiles go free, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Everything free in it. Praise God. command ye me. That was the part I was trying to get to there.
Amen.
Well, Lord, we just thank you for doing all of that. Praise God. In other words, he wants us to ask him for everything. Pray to him for everything. And she's right. We have authority. We have that authority. He gave it to us. And if he gave it to us, why don't we exercise it? If I'm having a problem, I'm going to take it to the Lord. Lord, I need your help. I don't know what I'm doing here, but I need some straightening here. And he'll let you know. Like Missy was talking about and others have been talking about, you have to get in that place where you're listening to him. And like she was talking about, you have to do it 24/7. You can do it 24/7. How many of you have caught yourself walking down the street or wherever, walking somewhere, and just praying in the Spirit? Yeah, we do it all. We all do it every now and then. Or you should be. Praying in the Spirit. You see somebody that's in need, I don't, you know, you go to talking in the Spirit, praying for them. Well, okay. Anybody else? We're kind of running out of time here. I didn't know it was so late. Man, I was having a good time here. Praise God. Has anybody got any questions before we get off? It sure straightened me out. Yep. Praise God. Well, Lord, I just praise you and I glorify you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in all of us. And like I've said before, Lord, and like you've said many times too, we're all part of this body. I have a part, they have a part, everybody's got a part. One helps another, and that another there helps somebody else, and next thing you know, we've got a full body here, and we're not only helping each other, we're helping the world. And Father, that's the way it goes. It's just as Jimmy Swagger said, it's just multiplicities of people are involved that we don't even know about right now. That when we're serving you, Lord, we're serving humanity as well. Because when we're a light in amongst all that darkness where we walk, people are going to see it. They're going to ask you about it at some point in time, and you're going to have an answer for it. And Father, I just praise you that you're with us, you're talking to us at all times. And all we got to do is tap into that wire that you have up there that's telling us what to do. And Father, I just praise you for it. I praise you, Lord, that you're working in all of us. I ask for your protection. I ask for your love that you give unequivocally and unconditionally. And Lord, I thank you for the work you're doing in all of us. And I know, Father, that if we just endure to the end with our faith, that we're all going to make it. We're going to make it in a mighty way. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to use everybody on this fellowship and those that are listening in a mighty way, because we're going to do what you want us to do in this walk that you've got us on. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, place it in our hearts to intercede for each other. As we go about our daily walk, we don't have to do a whole lot of praying, but just do it under our breath. You know, Lord, I just bless Joe. I bless both Joes. I bless everybody, you know, that is in need. You know, and Lord, it doesn't take long till we get it all out. And we know that, Lord, you're going to do it. Because when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to have it. And I thank you for it, Lord. Bless us with a good night's sleep tonight. And bless us as we come back together again, Lord, you willing, Thursday night. And I praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in us, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for all the answers to prayers, too, in Jesus' name. All right. Good night, folks.